Hey, 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 what's up everyone? Coming to you live from St. U. This is our official episode one. Ryan Helbling, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Sammy. How are you?
I'm good. I've had kind of a crazy week. This is my last week in Colorado, but I'm excited to be back in Portland. We're diving into a community today, just talking about community in the midst of a pandemic and what that means for us at this age and the time that we're living in.
Let's do it. So Sammy, one thing that I was thinking about is before we even talk about how we experience community in a pandemic is what are things in our communities that we really seek out when we look for a community in a time that we're not in a pandemic, when we're experiencing life as just, you know, regular people? What is the way, what are you looking for? And what's important to you?
I think for me, when I think about like everything, just without the pandemic in mind, I think of a lot of energized environment where you get to like be really open with people, very expressive with people. I'm a very extroverted person, so I like to be around a lot of people. So when I'm like hanging out with my friends at home, I have a friend group at home where we have like 12 plus of us that get together like on a regular at one person's house and we just have a ball. That is like, just like being in an environment with good community and a lot of community is something that's really important for me. And it helps me come out of my shell to know that there's other people around me, maybe for me to get to know that I don't know super well or people that I do know super well. And I can vibe with someone. That's something that's important to me. What about you, Ryan? What's good for you?
Right. I really like those big communities. Like you, I'm an extrovert. I really enjoy just being out and getting to talk and to meet people. That's huge. But one thing I also really like is some of our smaller communities as well. I really feel a need a lot of time. And one thing I look for are small communities is groups that really check in on how I'm doing, who see and who uplift me. That is something that's really important to me. I really like having people who I'm able to level with at the end of the day, and I'm able to say, you know, this is how I'm feeling. I was thinking this today, or I saw this, and this is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And that's been such an important part of my life, just being able to share with a close group of friends. And I mean, Sammy, I mean, you're in one of these groups of people. I mean, we meet weekly, and I think having that opportunity just to check in and to say, how are things going? It's really cool. And before the pandemic, I think it was really cool because even in that smaller group, because of how close knit we were able to really like have that close tight conversation while we were on campus. And now it's a little different, but those close relationships really, really helped me to grow in community. And I think they brought out what was best in me. Mm-hmm. And they also inspired me to be better. So those are some things that are really important to me about community, having that those people who are there to strengthen me and having people who are there to push me out of my comfort zone and to be a better person. That's yeah. Really it for me.
I don't think I realized how much I appreciated those one-on-one relationships with people until, you know, all of this came up, because having to, you know, social distance and, you know, like isolate for like quite a long time, I forgot how much I appreciated A, being around a big group of people, but also B, just like you were saying, intentionally reaching out to those people in that group where I really connect with the most and help, you know, having people check in with me like personally, because I don't know about you, but like face-to-face conversation is my jam. Like I'm terrible at texting, terrible at calling people back. Like I love FaceTime specifically for that reason, that I can at least see the person's face. But texting, I always feels like I will send someone like one big message about how much I miss them, and I check in with them, and then they'll send me one big message about how much they miss me, and they'll check in with me, and then that's kind of it. Whereas like when you meet with someone face to face, one on one, you have the chance to just look at their body language and just check in with how they're doing, and the conversation can go anywhere. And it becomes like, I always come back from like a coffee, chat, tea, whatever, or even a walk, and I'm like so rejuvenated. I don't know about you. having the world kind of shut down and not making much of an environment for those kinds of conversations and for that kind of community was a huge shock for me.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Shifting now, yeah. I mean, here we are, what, almost 6 months later after we got sent home from the University of Portland.
Yeah.
And the pandemic started and we started putting ourselves in our little boxes of self-isolation. I mean, that's been quite the shock. And so really looking here, how did you feel that the pandemic changed the vibe of your community?
Mm-hmm. I think initially, I would say my first initial reaction was fear, to be honest. I don't think anyone had any idea what the next day was going to look like. Like, we were living in one day and we didn't even know what tomorrow was going to look like. So I stayed on campus at UP for an extra 2 weeks after campus shut down. And I just remember texting my two friends, Anna and Elizabeth Tripp, shout out. And we were like, we need to make sure we hang out like every day, because if we don't, we're not going to know, like, going to be like lost. We're going to be sitting in our rooms and we won't be ourselves. And we also didn't know what was going to happen the next day. So we wanted to at least see each other before something drastic happened, after the other drastic thing had happened of losing our school and losing our experience as college students. And that was really good for me. Just like meeting up for dinner or hanging out at night after we had our classes, like, that really meant a lot to me, because we all could just like talk about what was going on and what the heck, like, this doesn't happen. Like, this doesn't happen to anyone in their lifetimes. Like, it's not only like a fun time for us to just like, you know, relax and just like have fun, but also to just like debrief everything that was going on, insecurities about what was going to happen, like, you know, like job wise like Anna and Elizabeth had just graduated or were going to graduate, so they were worried about looking for jobs and just figuring out opportunities. And I didn't know what was going to happen in the fall semester leading up to it, or even what was going to happen in the summer. So having that kind of community as like a support system, I feel like my community shifted from previously to being like fun, engaging, like energetic. Not that my new community wasn't like that, but it really became a place of support for me. And I would say the same with our group that we started having weekly on Wednesdays. Even if we would just play games, you and I and a bunch of other friends would just play like games on Zoom, like Jeopardy. It was a huge sense of support to have that kind of normalcy, even if it was over a screen. I don't know about you, but how was your community shifted in that way, and where did you find that kind of support?
Yeah, well, I remember first just getting the news, and I was pissed off when I heard about it. I remember I was walking back from class, and here I am in the midst of senior year, thinking it's, you know, a pretty regular Thursday afternoon. And as I walk back from main campus over to my apartment, I just remember being so furious. And I got to my room and I just started like crying. And then I remember two of my housemates came in my room and they're like, "You doing okay, man?" And like, just that part, like, it just made it even worse. Like, I don't cry very much, but then I was just like bawling. I don't even remember like something like that before. And I realized, man, I really rely so heavily on just communities like my housemates or people like friends who I just see walking across a small campus. I mean, I got so afraid of missing out on that. And, you know, going home, you know, 5 or 6 days later, whatever it was, in the time that we had to move out, it was hard. There's such a convenience in living in the same place and people eating on the same schedules and doing all that stuff. Like, all of a sudden, like, life became really real. You know, I'm not far displaced from school at this point, but it's kind of how I imagined like after graduation would be. And I was really not prepared for that. And so having to take it upon myself to reach out, to call people and to schedule times, figure out, well, I've got to do this before I go to work, and you've got to do this, you know, when you've got time. And there's so much extra effort that came into just every interaction. And I was not ready. I wasn't excited about it. But, you know, I learned and I had to roll with it. And so that became my reality. And mm-hmm. I think I could have done two things. And one of them, I could have been like, crap, I hate this reality. I'm just going to give up on it. Mm-hmm. But instead, I just like, I committed. And I was like, you know what, we got to find a group. And that's what we've done. And it's been a really fun of, I mean, every day I look at my calendar and it seems so silly to have call this person, call that person. But I do now, and frankly, things are going much better. From there, I think it's probably a good idea just to talk a little bit about how are we building these communities in the pandemic? Mm-hmm. What's working for us? What are good things that we want to try? I know for me, like one thing that I really enjoy, like you mentioned, is we had those Wednesday night group meetings, and I thought that was such a cool thing. For you guys who are listening, before we went into this pandemic, we actually had a group of people we were really trying during Lent to get together every week and just to pray together and to be together. And it was really a really kind of cool thing, a cool project that we had going. I'll tell you guys more about that project a little bit later. It was kind of my super exciting Lent,
yes,
I don't know, manifesto that I brought to life. But yeah. But anyways, we had this really good group going, and we realized before, actually on the Friday before we left, we all got together, talked about what we wanted to do. And one thing we realized is once we've got that community started, it's just so important to lock it down. So we literally figured out with all of our calendars when the time we can meet every week. And we got it down, and every Wednesday following in the pandemic, we had a group get together on Zoom, and we just talked and hung out, checked in on how everyone's week was going. And then we played random games. I made a Jeopardy, other things. We use an app called House Party, and just mm-hmm. every week is something that I look forward to. We spend about half the time just hanging out, goofing off, and then we spend about half the time having a really honest check-in with people. Mm-hmm. Talk kind of about what we're struggling with, what's good in our life, where we might need prayer. And I found that to be really, really valuable. That's something that I need, and I need to, you know, have those people who are there in my corner. And that's been great. And it's been cool too, because since the pandemic started, the group's actually gotten bigger. We have mm-hmm. some other people who've come in, and it's allowed our group to be a little bit more flexible and to grow and to have that group of people who come in and talk and are so present despite being miles and miles away from each other. It's just a really wonderful thing.
Ways I've started to find this community has been all over the place, I would say, because when I was still like back in Portland, we had like the Zoom meetings, like just our group. And then I also had Anna and Elizabeth, and that was really good for me at the time. But I was finding I was still like, I feel really out of my element. I really don't know what to do. So I ended up going home, and that was the right decision for me. But I ended up finding I really missed my UP community so much more. So then I really looked forward to those Zoom meetings, and I made more of an intentional time in my week to make time for those people that I was missing. So I, in like my Google calendar or my Outlook calendar through school, would literally block off times that I was like, okay, I'm going to FaceTime this person, or I'm going to have a happy hour with Anna and Elizabeth, which we did many times, and that was amazing. Or even some of my friends back here in Colorado who were also experiencing this thing, we had like a tea on Sundays. So we started to make like events out of what we were doing on Zoom. And I thought that was super fun, super good for me, because I could look forward to something and get dressed up for something and just like feel a little normal. It eventually got to the point where Colorado started lifting their restrictions a little bit, and our friends were like, okay, like maybe it's safe for us, like the 10 of us, 10, maybe 15 of us, to hang out in someone's big backyard. And we did that, and we did that in a really safe manner. And it was like serotonin straight to my brain to like be around people again and to be around people that were experiencing the same thing I was experiencing. So having like a balance of being in person with my friends here in Colorado and having them to call and chat and say, hey, can we like go on a walk or something? And can we do this in a safe way that we're still in person was really good for me. And it's changed my summer for sure. I appreciate that I've had that kind of balance. I'm very lucky to have that balance of being able to see people in person and being healthy enough and having friends that are being healthy and safe. To see them in person is a huge blessing. So, but it's also a huge gift to be able to talk to Ryan and all of our UP friends over Zoom, because our friendship goes deeper than in person, and our friendship is it's so much more special knowing that we're fighting for this. We're not just giving up on each other, and we're intentionally putting that time, as Ryan was saying, which is a lot of time and a lot of energy, to schedule you know, get-togethers over FaceTime or Zoom or texting or whatever. Like, it's a lot more, like, it takes a lot of energy, whereas, like, you can just, like, call someone and meet up with them and the conversation flows. I think it's a true testament of our love for each other and our hope for each other that I think manifests in Christ, which is super rad.
All right, so Sammy, just curious to talk to you a little bit about what are some of the ways that you've been experiencing then in these communities? How have you been experiencing spiritual life through them? Because, I mean, as a Christian lifestyle podcast, we really want to get to understanding what is important to our communities in terms of faith. How do we pull from those?
Yeah, I think that a huge part of having good spirituality between all of these communities amidst what's going on is being honest. One thing I've been doing with my friends at home when we remember to, especially in like my little like girl gang group that I have with five of my best girlfriends, we do this thing called vibe check. And we it's like a space for all of us to just be honest about how we're doing and our prayer and where we think we need extra support and extra prayers. And some of it gets really deep and some of it gets like kind of goofy, and it's been really good because it's super easy, I think, in the midst of all of this, just kind of like brush over the surface, just like try and not talk about like our prayer and try and not talk about like very deep things, because we're already living in such stressful times. So the thought of like being vulnerable and being very emotional is like a really scary thing. But I think being honest and being bold when it comes to sharing our feelings is super helpful, and it's been super helpful for me. And I think what has really helped me is my friends being very open to hearing what I'm going through in my spiritual life, and my frustrations and my excitement and my spontaneity when it comes to spirituality, because oftentimes I will just spontaneously call my friends and say, hey, like, this is what is on my heart right now, and this is what I was thinking about during Mass, or this is what I was praying about. And their openness has been super, super helpful for me. What about you? What about yourself?
Yeah, for me, I mean, just like scheduling in like friend time. I'm also scheduling in prayer with my friends, and that's pretty cool. My friend Mason, we were roommates my junior year and housemates my senior year. We've been friends since even before school. We actually met at a pre-orientation event. The two of us, we really were getting into just like praying together in the evenings. And so that's been one thing, like, through this pandemic. And we've been sharing prayer together through that this summer. And it's kind of cool because both of us can kind of like follow through with it, you know, and it gives us something daily to think about. And then in that also, we talk about some of the things that are going on in our life, and we pray for each other through that. That's been huge. Yeah, and then other ways, you know, as much as I prefer Zoom to a group text, I've got several group text friends that we have something we want to pray about or pray for, just text that group. And that's just such a simple thing right now. And I think it's so important because, yeah, Zoom is great, but just because we can't Zoom, that shouldn't stop us from not praying. And so to be able to just see someone's text say, hey, my grandma's not doing really well right now, or hey, it's my brother's birthday. And then just to be able to text them back, all right, I'm praying for you. And just get on that prayer. Whatever that is, just say, God, be with their brother, be with their grandma, you know, whatever. That is such a cool thing. And right now, that's been an awesome thing for me in this pandemic. It's not, even though I don't see those people, just to know that I'm still linked to them through prayer, that I'm still praying for them and they're still praying for me. That's such a gift and such an amazing thing that unites us as people of faith.
Oh, yeah. Ryan actually reached out to me and I told him that four of my friends are getting married, and he was like, what are their names? Like, I would love to pray for them on their wedding day, like when they're in the ceremony. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, how beautiful it is that prayer is so universal and so uniting, and it can bring and connect people together despite having never known that person before. I think it really just just shows that Christ's love transfers to all people, despite not having knowing them. So
prayer is like the coolest thing on the Jesus tool belt.
Oh yeah. It's probably the biggest tool too.
Exactly.
That is very true.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Sammy. I thought maybe right now we could just drop some just ideas. We're not going to go super far in depth in any of these, but here's just a couple things that we've also kind of brainstormed. If you're looking for a way to build a community of faith. How about you, Sammy? What's something for you?
Something that a friend told me earlier in the summer, she invited me to give a testimony talk at her parish. She's a youth minister there. And she told me to do bold things. And I would just like to reiterate that, like, do bold things. Reaching out to someone that you haven't talked to in a while and asking literally direct questions of how is your prayer life? How is your spirituality? How are you doing in the midst of all of these things? I think it's a scary thing to just put that on someone's plate, but I think that sometimes people need it. I know that I need it when someone asks me, how is your prayer life? How are you doing? Because it allows me to put everything into perspective and authentically process what I'm going through. So in addition to doing bold things like reaching out to someone and scheduling a Zoom call for them if they're too anxious to make some kind of plan or something, being bold also helps us take the initiative. And when people are anxious to take it, I've been there, it helps when other people challenge you. And I think it's an act of love and to plan something for someone and say, hey, I want to spend time with you. Hey, I want to hear about how you're doing.
Another one for me, there's a lot of colleges that have campus ministry programs, especially in big state schools, places that have, if you live near one, that have Newman Centers or other churches. Despite the fact that we're not having in-person church in a lot of places, there's still a lot of things being put out there. So check websites, figure out what's going on around churches around you. Reach out, you know, it's such an important.
Reaching out to, like Ryan said, like your campus ministry, if you have that, or a church that's close to you, and getting connected with the resources that they offer is super huge and super beneficial. In reaching out to those, see if they have like a live streamed adoration, if you're into that, or if they're having live streamed events, I think is super cool to get you connected.
Mm-hmm. Remember, church, the big meaning of it is community. It's a community of following Christ, following God. That's community with the big C there for you.
Oh, yeah. Capital C.
Exactly. Kira, thank you. We're all about vocations with a capital V and community with a capital C.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's about time for us to wrap up. But before we let you go, we always want to end with prayer. One verse that came to my mind today as we were going with this was from Matthew. It's where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst of them. And it's very difficult to find two or three gathered right now. But I think it's important for us to open up and to find other ways to gather. And so we pray, God, thank you for giving gifts of communities in our lives. Thank you for people who bring out the best in us, who challenge us to be the best that we can be. God, you call us, you say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. There you are in the midst of us. And God, we pray that despite the fact that we can't just be right next to each other, we can't just be with everyone, that you invite us to meet with one another, to be with one another in ways that are new, in ways that push us out of our comfort zones and allow us just to know you better. And God, we pray that through our communities, whatever communities that they may be, ones rooted in spirituality or ones that come about in different ways, that we find ways to show your love to others and to express your care.
Jesus, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for the love that you've embedded in our hearts, that you've embedded in our communities, and the hope that you've embedded in our hearts. Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You love us despite our fear, despite our frustration. We pray that you continue to guide us in your great light. In this we pray your name. Amen.
Amen. And now, with that, that is the end of our official first episode of St. You. I'm Ryan Helbling.
And I'm Sammy Van Oorstrand.
And we are looking forward to talking to you next week. Have a great week for God, everybody.
Bye.